Hi, this is Rick Rockhill, and you're listening to the Rick Rockhill Radio Show and Podcast. I am happy to be here today, and I'm going to be sharing a interesting set of insights on a new book that my mom has written, actually, and she is going to be here with us on the show today. So if you have kids, if you have grandkids, if you have a family member who's young and growing up, a young adult, this is a podcast is probably going to interest you because there's a lot going on out there in the world right now, and it's tough to find things that would be helpful to you as a parent or a guardian or somebody who's trying to help a young adult get through the world and make their way through life. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Dr. Virginia Rockhill, my mom, to the show. Mom, welcome.
Yes, thank you, Rick. How are you today?
So great. Thanks for calling in. And it's a treat for me to have you on because this is, for me, I know this has been a labor of love for you, and I'm holding the book in my hand. I couldn't be more proud. But I think for people listening, I just want to get into it a bit and first tell people about your background. So you are a licensed psychologist, and why don't you just tell our listeners just about your degree, your background, kind of, you've been practicing for what, 25 years, I understand?
Sure. Yes, I've been practicing for about 25 years. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist. I've been in private practice, having treated, many groups of patients, children, working with families, spouses, substance abuse, post-traumatic stress disorder, and I'm currently now working in long-term care, which is a little bit different from what I had done before, but very interesting considering the increased lifespan that people are having today. It doesn't mean that as we get older, our problems diminish. They're always with us. So.
Well, and I'm sure that you would agree that people, you know, so many things in life start from a very early age, whether it's, experience that young people have that they witness or observe, or their family environment, or something that happens educationally at school, whatever it is. I think what intrigues me so much is the fact that the world is just changing and moving so quickly today. When I was a kid, not that it was, ancient times, but there were a lot less things to distract us, to kind of take you down different paths. You had a more limited set of options, and they were relatively controlled in what my family environment and schooling and so forth provided. Today, it's got to be tough for parents because your kids are all kids are just wired. They have phones, they have tablets, no matter where they go. It's not just TV anymore. It used to be you could just shut the TV off, and then you kind of knew they weren't watching any garbage. Now, the kids are up at night till the wee hours on their phones, and who knows what they're looking at. Even with parental controls, it's very hard. So I think that
absolutely,
for some people, those things shape you and they take you through your life. So I think as a psychologist, your perspective is clinical, but also you're observing these things that adults are dealing with and then that their kids are going through. So you've got this book now that you've written, and Unconditional. So why did you call it Unconditional? What does the title mean?
it took me a while to come up with the title, but I decided upon Unconditional because basically unconditional love. When we think about love, there's all kinds of love, and I think that's something today that young people, the idea of unconditional love, that you're loved no matter what. I think that's a very reassuring, comfortable concept. We all need love. And it's, as you mentioned earlier, kind of relationships that we have growing up, it's children need to know that they are loved. And when there are any issues growing up of mistrust, any kind of deprivation that children can go through today. It's a very complicated world for children. I think it's very challenging for parents to raise a family today because there are so many outside influences affecting children. And as you mentioned, Rick, parents today, when most parents today, when they were growing up, it was an entirely different environment. there's so many factors that are pushing kids to grow up too quickly. And that's something that, you know, can have some adverse consequences. So I wrote that, I chose that title, Unconditional, as the message that there is unconditional love there for every single one of us. We just have to look for it. It's there.
Mm-hmm. So when I look at, I'm holding the book in my hand, and by the way, this is Dr. Virginia Rockhill. She's the author of a new book called Unconditional, Encounters with Unexpected New Friends. And this is available on Amazon. You can find it. It's a great read. It's an easy read for you know, it's entertaining and educational at the same time, but not preachy in any way. Perfect for young adults, I'd say, what would you say, 11 years old and up?
I would say from 11 years up. And it's interesting, that category, that book category of young adults, that's actually the largest segment of the book industry today, books that are written in that young adult category. So it technically begins about 11 years old and up, but many, many, many adults read young adult books. For example, the Harry Potter series, which so many adults have read and enjoyed, that is considered a young adult book. So that helps to understand what young adult category means. You can think of Harry Potter in that regard.
Right. So this book, when I'm looking at the cover, one thing that's really apparent is you've got this, it's the story of a dog and a toad. And on the cover is a an image of your dog, right? This is Abby. So just briefly,
yes.
tell listeners, what inspired you? Why does your dog kind of take the lead here in this story?
Well, Abby was my dog. She was definitely part of our family. She was a Shih Tzu who I got when she was 8 weeks old, and Abby had a little, I used to call him a little friend, a toad friend, who used to appear every morning and every evening when we would go out to do her business. And this little toad would appear at the edge of the garden adjacent to a foundation wall. And it was almost like every night he would be there and she would come to look for him and never tried to hurt him or anything. And they just kind of stared and looked at each other. But he was always there for months and months on end. And we had moved from one state to another, and several months after we had moved here, one day I had taken her outside, and lo and behold, there was another little American toad out in the grass, and immediately she went over, and I just thought about, what is it about, I wonder what she's thinking, here's another little toad, obviously it's not the same toad. But that was the original inspiration for a story about a friendship between a dog and a toad. Very unlikely, but it's a fun book. So artistic license, we could say just about anything.
Sure. And I think what's fun in this read, when I read through the book the first time, I've read it twice, but the first time, this idea about this whole world that's invisible to humans, the idea that, you know, the lead character in this, Abby the dog, is going through this world that maybe humans are not seeing or hearing and such. And I think there's some truth to that, right? Animals are in tune with things that we're not. But I think for the sense of a reader or a young person, young adult reading this, I think what the appeal of that is, young people can feel like, yeah, that's me. I'm sort of special because I'm going through the world and I have experiences that my parents they're not part of in a way. So there's some, I think that's kind of cleverly done from my view. So
thank you.
I think that if somebody's listening here and thinking, okay, you know, I'm going through a tough time raising my children or my child, and there's some interesting characters that kind of develop through this story in the very early on. What are some of the things that you think are helpful to a young adult who'd be reading this? So the couple characters maybe that very early on, when Abby and Mr. Toad get out there, they meet some people, right? Some different animals. And are there a couple there that you think are especially helpful for a young adult to sort of latch onto?
Yes. And let me just say that one of the inspirations for writing this book was the Narnia series by C.S. Lewis, in which there are some humans in the story, but by and large, most of the events that happen occur amongst animals who are able to speak. So with that as a backdrop, there are some characters in the book that have some very common human character traits. For example, there's one character in the book, one animal in the book, who has ADHD, and his inability to sit still and to focus enabled him to find a solution to a problem that had a significant benefit to the story. There's a human character in the book who ends up revealing what a poor relationship he had with his father. His biological father had abandoned the family, and this was had a lasting negative effect on his development. He ends up being able to recognize how this life experience had hurt him as an adult. But there are some characters in the book that have very real human experiences that many people can relate to, because we all carry that baggage. Everybody has baggage from, you know, to different degrees, from childhood or varying life experiences, sometimes trauma that happens to people growing up. And these things shape our interaction with the world. They help to make us who we are, for better or for worse. And this is part of what life is all about, that we all need. We all have things happen to us that we would rather not have happen. So it's not a question of, gee, this happened, what's wrong with me? It's how we extricate ourselves from those experiences. How can we learn from them and become a better person? And I think one of the values in the book is for a parent or grandparent, when you see your child or grandchild struggling with something, and how do we help them to understand? We can't just always preach, because we know that will turn kids off. They don't want to hear anything like that. So I think the value of this book is it provides some entertainment. I think it's a fun book to read, but it also enables us to get some lessons for life while we're being entertained. So it's a good way for a parent or grandparent, aunt, uncle, to interact with a young adult and use some experiences that these animals have had in the story, that maybe they can use some of those life lessons to help them deal with the many challenges of growing up in a very, very complicated world today.
It is a tough world. I mean, I think what I like about the book is you confront some of these issues and challenges, the moral issues that are out there, and again, the things that can be frustrating to a parent thinking about, you know, how do I protect my child from all the things that are hitting them? The minute you send them off to school, and you don't even know what's influencing them. So and kids are not prone to talk too much about their feelings. So how
exactly
this book does a nice job at getting kids to think about it, and whether they exactly come and talk to you, or at least they can get some sort of lessons from the characters in the book, I think is what's so well done. The idea that that Abby and Mr. Toad are kind of going out and sort of investigating and making friends, and they're doing things, they're good lessons or examples, and there is a nice cadence to the story and how it moves through. You've got a lot of different animals in the book itself. And I'd like to talk more about that in just a moment. We're going to take a very quick break. We're talking with Dr. Virginia Rockhill. She's the author of a new book, Unconditional. You can find it on Amazon or her website, unconditionalstory.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. That means it could be you, your best man, your worst man. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org to know where you stand. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance, reminding you that when you adopt a shelter pet, you discover all the things that make them unique. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
You're listening to the Rick Rockhill Radio Show. I'm Rick Rockhill, your host, and thanks for listening to the podcast. We are talking today. My guest is Dr. Virginia Rockhill, my mom. She's the author of a new book called Unconditional: Encounters with Unexpected New Friends, available on Amazon or from her website, unconditionalstory.com. The book really tackles how things like faith, love, acceptance can overcome some of the biggest problems the world faces. It's ideal for young adults to learn about life's lessons, and it's an entertaining and engaging book. You can actually read a free sample from her website, unconditionalstory.com. I think you can download a couple chapters for free, which is kind of nice. It does tell the story of a Shih Tzu and named Abby and Mr. Toad, her friend, who are out kind of exploring the world. And so I'm here again with my mom, Dr. Rockhill. Mom, so tell me about a little bit about some of the other animals in the book who kind of go through, they encounter in their journey.
Okay. Well, besides Mr. Toad, and we named this Mr. Toad because that was just something that I had named him when I would take Abby out, and we said, let's see if Mr. Toad is there. So that's why he has that kind of an unusual name. Besides the Abby and Mr. Toad, there are some rabbits. I tried to get to include animals that were native to this particular area. So we have a young rabbit called Opal. She's very innocent and very sweet and befriends Mr. Toad right away. There is a muskrat family that they also become very friendly. The father figure in the muskrat family, which, by the way, muskrats tend to be monogamous and have an intact family unit over time. He takes Mr. Toad in to his family after Mr. Toad is almost run over by a semi-tractor trailer truck crossing the road. And Mr. Toad is invited to join the muskrat family, but he has to go down this tunnel underground. And so that's the first step that Mr. Toad takes on faith. He doesn't know this muskrat at all. He doesn't know where he's going, but he sort of trusts him because he saved him from physical harm. So that was the first instance of faith. But throughout the story, there are many examples of faith. And we say, what is faith? Faith, I think a basic definition is a belief in an intrinsic feeling that we might have, that you can't really come up with an objective way of explaining faith, but it's sort of an intrinsic feeling that something is right or there's some truth in a particular situation. So faith is very important to get us through life. It helps if we're always looking for that that truth, rather than just making decisions based on our emotions or by influences from other people. Sometimes that could lead us down the wrong path. So certainly faith is an important part of the book. And faith also was manifested through other animals in the book. There are two male rabbits, Soshi and Julian, who have been together for a long time, but they're very different in personality. Soshi is very open and loving, very trustful, and Julian is rather dogmatic and very he's not the most sociable guy around, but in the end he learns how to overcome his anxieties and his mistrust of other people. There is also a beaver family, and if you know anything about beavers, they're also monogamous, but they will remain with their own family. They do not like to interact with other beavers very much. They're very territorial in their the way they live, but they all learn to overcome some of those fears, those intrinsic fears that are characteristic to their species. There are also some raccoons in the family. I think a few minutes ago I talked about one animal character who has ADHD, and that's a young raccoon. Maybe he's, 12 years old in human years, and he has ADHD. So he gets himself into trouble, but is able to overcome some of that inattentiveness. And his aunt, Myrtle, who is very, she typically brags a lot about how smart raccoons are and how handy they can be because they have opposing thumbs. And that tends to be a little tedious sometimes to Mr. Toad. He feels like, all right, we got to listen to her again, bragging about how smart and how tactful raccoons are. So there's some, just like people will have sometimes, we can come across somebody who's like a little too egocentric and a little braggadocious, but some of the animals have very similar characteristics that humans can have. But in the end, Mr. Toad overcomes his intolerance of Myrtle and understands that it's really the fact that she has opposing thumbs and is able to open things is definitely an advantage to help the group, again, overcome some of the environmental adversities that occur in the book.
These are great lessons for kids, because I think all the things you just described are what they'll encounter in the classroom, when they're on Instagram, when they're watching movies or whatever. These are kind of things that they see. I mean, there's lots of great characters, and more than we'll get into here in this podcast, from owls and this, you even got mentioned raccoons and things, but coyotes and some scary things, but not so scary that you wouldn't want to read it. I think the reality is life is full of all these different things, and you can't shelter your kids. That's not the solution. But I think to help them understand that there's good and evil in the world, and here's an appropriate response to those things that you may encounter, and how do you evaluate, and when is it important? Why love is so important. I think these are all great concepts for a kid to be reading. And I think what's especially clever about this is the fact that it is not a preachy read. It is, in fact, there are no pictures in this book except for the cover. So it is for
Correct.
Sure. It's a read.
That's
it's a
right.
literary work. And,
but
it's a page turner because you kind of want to see what's going to happen next. And I think it has adventure, and all those things that are really terrific. What about this, the idea about this, the environment that they're going through, this world, right? So they're making their way through and they're dealing with things, but they do become separate, right? Mr. Toad and Abby at one point.
Yes. Yes.
And there's some fear around that. There's some sense of, uneasiness.
Yes. Mr. Toad ends up becoming separated from Abby because he had been living in Abby's apartment in a terrarium, and he decided to escape one day. He missed being outside in the river, and he hopped around the building that they were living in and ends up crossing the road. That's where he is almost run over by the tractor trailer on his way down to the river. And Abby is very, very worried about him. She doesn't know what happened, if he snuck out the door and he was devoured by a cat or some other animal. So he ends up coming back to the apartment that Abby was in, and he explains to her some of the dangers that he had experienced and some of the fears that some of the animals, in particular the rabbits and the raccoons, had had. The book really has another piece in it that I thought was important to have, some environmental dangers. And you say, well, what are the dangers? They were perpetrated by a scientist who was very well known and very well respected in the environmental community, but he ends up doing something to the environment that affects the animals, and they've been able to see some of the genetic consequences to what this scientist had done, and that's how they end up working together in ways that they normally would not have interacted. So the book talks about how differences, you may be very different from another animal in the book, but they recognize that they need to work together to solve the problem. And that acceptance of one another and working together as a team, even though they have very different strengths and vulnerabilities and life experiences, they can work together to overcome that. And I think that that's a piece that's important to kids today growing up, that we are all going to have differences. You know, we come from different backgrounds, different socioeconomic groups.
I just want to touch on that, if you don't mind, because there's two excerpts I want to read just briefly that you just kind of tapped into. And I think listeners would be interested, especially if you're trying to think about, you know, how you're raising your family, young adult family members in this world. I think it's in chapter 13, there's two excerpts. First one, it says, first, you need to understand what unconditional love really is, because there are many kinds of love. One of the problems is what one person calls love is not always the same as another person's understanding of love. We can say we love our favorite food or pillow, but this is different from the way we love our family. And that's a great quote, because it does help a young person sort of understand those differences. But the other one I wanted to read really quickly here before we wrap up is, loving our family and friends is easy, but what about those we don't know or who are different from us, or those who don't even like us or try to harm or destroy us? Mr. Toad thought about the snakes, fox, cats, and other animals who would like to eat him. He thought, how could I ever love them? Gabe knew what he was thinking, and he said, there is a natural order to life on Earth. Every creature must die someday, but the one thing that doesn't die is the bond of unconditional love. The Creator loves all of us unconditionally and wants us to love him in the same way. I think that's very powerful, and we don't have time to get into the whole discussion about the Creator, but I think what a reader will find, or certainly a parent will find about this book, is it really does address those things that young people are thinking about, and liking people and what love is, and how to kind of wrap all this up. But there is a subcontext of their place in the universe, the Creator. And while it doesn't go and get into God specifically, you're teaching the fact that even animals understand that their place in this world, and there is a Creator.
Exactly.
So I just want to applaud you for this. It's a really well-written book. And, you know, thanks again for calling in today. The book
is called Unconditional,
Encounters with the Unexpected New Friends by Virginia A. Rockhill. And you can find it on Amazon. You can also go to her website, unconditionalstory.com. It's a terrific read for young people. And just 30 seconds, any last advice you'd have for someone raising their young adult, and why this book could be helpful?
I would say that, I had written the book to sort of plant the seeds of awareness that we all have the ability to make our own choices. And, you know, our choices sometimes can have very far-reaching effects on others as well as ourselves and the world around us.
Okay. Well,
and
thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I hope
you
go out there and get the book, order it on Amazon. You can find it, Unconditional by Virginia Rockhill, or unconditionalstory.com. You've been listening to the Rick Rockhill Radio Show. I'm Rick, your host, and thanks so much, and see you next time.